Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk about some NBA futures action pre-free agency is Zach Price, professional sports bettor. You can follow him on Twitter at Zachonomics. Zach, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be back, Rob. Last time we've talked about like the Super Bowl and the NBA like during the winter. So now we're maybe like I've taken like a week and a half since the NBA Finals, and we're already back talking about next year. So I'm ready to go with this.
So I wanted to do this episode because it's an extremely interesting and potentially valuable time. We're recording this on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, less than 48 hours until free agency happens. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the NBA futures title odds because things can shift when free agency happens, but we're also going to create a baseline for ourselves to be successful during the rest of the season to see opportunities that we can capitalize on. Because, Zach, when you were on the show back in February, you had sold your Celtics to win the title ticket at 150-1 is what you were holding it on. And that ended up being a winner for you because they did not win the title. But you also identified a team who at one point was 150-1 that ended up making the title and at one point was up 2-1 in the series. So we're going to help build the mindset as well as create some perspectives before some dominoes fall. Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it's so funny that we mentioned the Celtics on your show because you're right. I bought them at 150-1. As far as I've seen, no one else has gotten them at even 100-1. So I had like the most craziest odds in the world. And I ended up, you know, selling out of that ticket about a month or two later when they went on a crazy streak. But it turned out that that was the profitable move. You know, I'd never expected the Celtics to get to the finals. And sure enough, they did and were the favorites at one time. But of course, the ticket didn't cash.
And that's something that, Zach, you talked about how you're a sports investor. And we also know with a lot of the books nationwide or worldwide, they also have some early payout options. So there are opportunities for us to make money in the futures market. So we'll start with this, and this will be a very quick section before we get into the others. And let's talk about targets for pricing in terms of, all right, what are we looking for in the futures market for what we're going to add to things? Traditionally, when we're looking at some of these odds, they're not very good right now in terms of it's not advantageous. And we'll even dive deeper into that. But when you look to pick up a futures ticket on your investment portfolio, what sort of range are you looking for?
Right. Well, you know, we're sitting here at the end of June and the NBA Finals next year isn't going to be until June. So we're talking about a year that if you want to make a bet today, your money's going to be held by the sports books for a full year. It better be a great number, and I don't want to take any favorites. And here's why, Rob, is that let's just say I wanted to get the Golden State Warriors to repeat. They're coming off a high. They're about 6-1 right now in the open market. Well, what happens if Steph Curry, like, tears his Achilles playing golf? You know, he's a big golfer. Or what if he strains his shoulder? Or, you know, what if he falls down the stairs and he's out for next year? I don't want to be holding a Golden State Warriors 6-1 ticket. So in terms of the ranges of odds, you know, I don't want to be taking any favorites right now. It just doesn't make sense. Anyone in single digits, I would never buy right now. So at least the way the NBA is right now, it seems pretty wide open to me. So if there's anything that I would even take right now, it would be a long shot that I think could be coming down in value with a trade, with a free agency, or just a young team that maybe has the possibility to surprise early on next year without that superstar. Because if you have a superstar, anything can happen. I've seen it a million times, a crazy freak injury or just a life decision, a trade that doesn't work. I don't want to take any favorites right now at all.
And I completely agree with you. So there's really three criteria that I created for how I'm looking at this. Number one, if you want to create a ticket where you could potentially cash this, number one, it's got to be a team who can be a top three seed. Number two, a team who can make the leap, like we saw with Memphis last year. And then number three, a team who can legitimately win. And what I want to do to help get some context here is to frame this. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what the odds were to win the title when the playoffs started and what they're at now. And what I learned is that now is not the time that we should be buying anything. So to put this into context, right now the Suns were the favorites to win the title at plus 260. Right now the lowest odd is plus 550. So you see something, all right, there's some slight value there. However, eight teams heading into the playoffs had odds of plus 8,000 or more. So eight teams over plus 8,000. Right now, based on the current odds, 18 teams have odds of plus 6,500 or less. So what does this say to us? Right now, all the sports books, everything is pure. Everything is pristine. We're living in the perfect NBA world. So all these odds are super tight. So let's make these things super low and there's no value right there. Whereas if you just wait until the playoffs, more than half the teams are sitting there with astronomical odds. So it's very important to frame all of this that right now is not the time. But we are going to help identify the teams because we know where they were when the playoffs started. Because we know where things are now, it can help us identify some opportunities. So, Zach, the first team that is on my list is actually the Memphis Grizzlies. Heading into the playoffs, plus 1,300. Right now, they're at plus 1,500. And why do I say the Grizzlies? Because they've got star power. They've got Ja Morant. They fit the formula of team that made the leap, but didn't leap all the way. So they've got a young core that I love. They've got Ja Morant. And you know what else? People would love to be holding a Grizz ticket. So this fits one of those things where it's a shiny object. So Zach, imagine you had, instead of the Celtics, you had the Grizzlies. People are like, oh my God, I just want to root for Ja Morant to dunk the ball. This is a real thing when it comes to the market. It's not like you're sitting there with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a team where it wouldn't inspire much for you. A Utah Jazz ticket. That's not going to inspire you like a Ja Morant ticket. What are your thoughts around a team like the Grizzlies?
Yeah, so the Grizzlies, like last year, I was able to get some good numbers on them. At the beginning of the season, I got 150 to 1 on a flyer. And later on in the year, before people really, you know, understood that they could be a force in the league, and it took a while for me to be convinced, too. I think when Ja Morant went down and the team just kept winning and winning and winning, I realized they were for real at about 40 to 1. So now they're 16 to 1, Rob, heading into the season. I think you mentioned, yeah, they were about 13 to 1 heading into the playoffs, and they had a 2 seed. So they had home court against, you know, basically the whole Western Conference until they made the conference finals, if they did, which they didn't. They ran into the Golden State Warriors. They played tough against the Warriors. They beat the Warriors, who won the championship. They beat them by like 55 points during one of those games in the playoffs. And so I'm looking right now in Memphis's status over the, you know, the offseason, and they added 4 players in the draft and no key free agents. Kyle Anderson is an unrestricted free agent, so he could leave. He's an excellent role player. But you know what? I think even if they lose Kyle Anderson, they're bringing back pretty much the same team with a bunch of new exciting rookies. I think the Memphis Grizzlies could actually be at value here at 16-1. Now, again, I'm not going to buy them right now. You know, who knows what's going to happen over the offseason. But this is a team that maybe before the trade deadline this year could package some of those rookies to a team falling out of contention and get that important piece to take them to the next level heading into next year's playoffs. This is a team that's got up arrows on it. I actually think 16 to 1 is pretty fair odds right now, considering we can wait on that till, you know, maybe about the season starts. But I love the Memphis Grizzlies heading into next year. And you're right. I want to touch on the point you made, which is when people get excited about the team, the odds actually drop on them in the futures market. And we've seen this. I mean, I think, Rob, the Brooklyn Nets are still favored to win last year's title. They were the favorite the entire year at crazy odds, 3-1, 4-1 the entire year. They got swept in the first round as the 7 seed. So the reason is because everyone loves Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden until he got traded for Ben Simmons. And so the public just pounded the Nets to where the bookmakers couldn't raise their odds because they would have such a liability on them. Whereas the Grizzlies, it took a long time for people to get on the train. Now they're probably getting on the train. If you took the Memphis Grizzlies at 16-1 heading into the year, I almost can guarantee that they're going to get down to around 12 or 10-1 if they play the same way they did this year.
So let's add another shiny object here in the Dallas Mavericks. 4 seed last year, heading into the playoffs, plus 4,000. Albeit, Luka was coming in dinged up, so they weren't all 100%. Right now, they're sitting there at plus 1,500. If we're looking at a team that if they added one piece, boom, this also qualifies. Dallas wins the series and beats the Suns. Nobody expected them to do so. So to me, Ja Morant and Luka Doncic, they are parallel. We got two shiny stars. Either one of them could win the series or take a team to the next level. However, plus 4,000 down to plus 1,500 right now. Once again, I'm not sure what I think about that price because, hey, maybe Luka's out for 2 or 3 weeks during the season and those odds drop. To me, the Mavericks are another team that I am going to be identifying. I'm not going to bet them now, but I'm going to want some Mavericks futures action. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the Mavericks totally surprised me this year. I did not think that they were going to make any sort of run like they did. I did not think that Luka could lead the team as far as he did, basically on his back. I mean, they traded Porzingis for Dinwiddie, which doesn't sound like that's going to make them a contender. It doesn't sound like that's going to make them, Rob, beat the Suns, who you mentioned were plus 260 heading into the playoffs. I think it's important to understand that the NBA does not have a dominant team. I know the Warriors are a dynasty, but even they were the 3 seed in the West. The West is stacked. The NBA is pretty stacked as it is up at the top in terms of a lot of very, very good teams, but no team that seems dominant. I never thought the Suns were dominant last year, and it turns out, they didn't have what it took to actually close out the Mavericks. So the Mavericks did make a trade for Christian Wood. He's a double-double guy. He is going to, he is the type of player who could take them to the next level, playing his role. He's averaged about 20-10 last year. So they are going to be improved. They are probably going to lose out on Jalen Brunson. He's the talk of the free agent market this offseason. Sounds like the Knicks are determined to overpay for him and give him all the money in the world for a guy who I was betting for the sixth man of the year in the preseason of last year. Now he's, going to get a max contract where his dad is a coach at the New York Knicks. So, Dallas at 15-1, I don't love that number. And just for the reason you said, Doncic, he's so young, but every season he's been injured for a period of time. Even in the playoffs, as you mentioned, coming into it, they were 40-1. I didn't really see the Mavericks under 30-1 all year until they beat the Suns, really. So I think we're going to have a better opportunity on the Mavericks. I want to see them. I'd love to get them at 25-1, maybe start buying in the low 20s. But this West is stacked. We haven't even mentioned the Clippers, who just added John Wall. The Clippers are sitting there as the favorite on a lot of these sports books. We can touch on that when you're ready. I have a little bit to say about that. But the Mavericks adding Christian Wood is going to be big. Losing Jalen Brunson is going to be big because he was such a good playoff player. So we're going to have to see what they do in the offseason. Mark Cuban is well known for making big blockbuster moves. Let's see what he does in the offseason. I don't think the Mavericks are going to suddenly jump to 10-1 or anything. I think we can hold off on the Mavericks. If they don't make a blockbuster move, maybe catch them in the 20s early part of next year.
All right, let's sprinkle the top of the board. So as I mentioned, one of my criteria, a team who can legitimately win. And for me, I'm looking at the Milwaukee Bucks heading into the playoffs. They were the favorites in the East at plus 500. Right now, they are plus 650. So we're getting slight amount of value. And when I look at the Bucks, they look like a team that should win multiple titles. So is it worth getting a slightly better number right now than they were when they headed into the playoffs? I'm not sure about that, but I feel pretty confident in the Bucks. If Chris Middleton doesn't get injured, are the Bucks winning the title last year? There's a good chance there. So I guess I'll actually ask you, we're either looking at the Bucks or I'll give you the Clippers out there in the West. Which one of those two would you prefer to have from a futures? And we're talking at the top of the board right now where I don't exactly feel like there's, well, there's not value on the Clippers. There might be some slight value on the Bucks, but right now the Clippers are super shiny.
Yeah. So, okay. The Clippers, they added John Wall just in the last 24, 48 hours. And John Wall, you know, people have forgotten about him. He's one of the fastest players with the ball, and he averages close to 10 assists a game. He's almost like the perfect fit for a team with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, where he's kicking it out to them and they're drive slashing in the lane. They just picked up Zubac's option, so he's going to be the man in the middle. The Clippers, making a huge move. Now, for them to be NBA favorites in the whole league right now, I think we're almost into Brooklyn Nets territory last year. Okay, John Wall, Kawhi Leonard did not play a game last year. Paul George played 31 games last year. That's a total of 31 games for their big three, and they're the favorites suddenly. I think you can definitely go into the season without betting the Clippers at all. And if they're 6-1, those three have to gel. They have to get back into playing shape. I don't think they're going to be playing 40 minutes a game opening the season. Now, Wall wasn't really injured. He got injured previously, and then they kept him out this year. And, you know, Leonard didn't play the whole year. Again, George had that shoulder issue. So they're going to come into the season healthy, but not gelling as a team. Not like, you know, they're going to have major, major rust, Rob. So I think not betting on the Clippers at all at these odds is the way to go into the season. The Bucks, I totally agree with you. They were my biggest payout if they were to win the championship this past year. I loved the Bucks. I got very good value on them. Giannis is just a dominant player, probably the most dominant in the league, I would say. And if Middleton were playing, you know, the ifs, we can use the ifs for a lot of different teams. If Middleton was playing, I do think they would have made it to the finals. I do think they would have beat the Celtics and the Heat. I don't know if they would have beaten the Warriors, but I actually would have taken them over the Warriors in that matchup. Obviously, they didn't. They lost in seven games. They're going to bring that whole team back. Let me see if they have any major free agent issues this year. Connaughton has a player option. Wesley Matthews is unrestricted. Bobby Portis has a player option. I imagine he'd be back. So they're going to return that team that won the title, you know, the previous year, got to game seven against the Celtics without their second best player, an all-star. I think the Bucks are in prime position to lead the East again. They're going to have competition with the Celtics, the Heat, the Nets, the Sixers again. We'll see what happens. But I think that they should be the favorites in the East. And 6.5-1, I think you could maybe get them at 8-1, so, you know, if you shop around. I think that's a fair number. I want to see if they can get over 10-1. They did start out slow this year, Rob. They started about 500 for the first month or two of the year. I was able to get them at 18-1 this year. That's why they were the biggest payout for me. So I think we can wait on both the Clippers and the Bucks for their number to go up. I don't think we need a rush. And the Bucks are one of those teams that, you know, the bettors don't just like plunk down tons of money on. I don't think you're going to see them down to 6 or 5 or 4-1. I think you can wait on the Bucks for them to rise. And I think you can wait on the Clippers to kind of watch them and let the rust dust off of them. And maybe their number will rise up if they don't start the season hot.
Cool. So let's get out on this by playing a quick game of popcorn. So I'm going to give you a team and I want you to tell me now, later, or neither. So this is going to say, hey, bet them now, later, meaning they're on our radar, or neither. I don't want any of this action. Cool?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be fun.
So first one I've got are the New Orleans Pelicans. Enter the playoffs 50-1. Right now they're sitting there at plus 4,000, a team that was 10 games under 500. But Zion is going to be back, and they fit the criteria of, oh, a team who could do the leap. So bet this now at plus 4,000, wait and do it later, or neither.
I'm going later on the Pelicans. So they brought in, you know, they made a trade for CJ McCollum. That was huge for them last year. That really turned things around. They you know, made a couple of nice draft picks this year. And so I want to see how those players fit into the team. But Zion's the key. They're not going to play Zion 35 minutes out of the gates and bruise that knee up. They're going to ease him in. I don't care how healthy he is. They're not going to – I don't see them starting off at their strongest. I see them finishing strong. And so for that reason, I'm going to take them later in the year. 40-1 is pretty fair for this team, but the West is stacked, and I'm just going to hold off on New Orleans and see if I can get them. Maybe Zion's going to get injured again. I mean, chances are, I think he probably will at some point. I think you wait on this team.
Without a doubt, they're a later team for me. Phoenix Suns entered the playoffs plus 260, now sitting there plus 900. So, whoa, who knows what's going to go on with Ayton? He could leave. Yeah. He could come back and sign right there for a team that was the number one seed. And to put this into context, heading into this into the playoffs, the Celtics were 9-1 to win the title. So right now, the Suns are sitting there at the same price that the Celtics were. So bet now, bet later, or neither.
Yeah, I'm betting later on the Suns. So Ayton is a huge piece to them. I wish they would have given him the max last year. They didn't. There's a lot of friction between him and management. We'll see what happens, but I think he's gone. I think he's going somewhere else, and we'll see how that you know, if there's a sign-in trade. I don't know the cap spaces, but with him, with not knowing about him, I'm waiting on them. I don't think they get to 5-1 unless they start out with a crazy great record like they did this past year. So odds are that I think you'll see them up around 20-25-1 at some point. I would hold off on the Suns.
And last team, the Miami Heat, a team that is every year undervalued. They went into the playoffs 10-1. Right now they're sitting there at 16-1, and I had a Heat to win the Eastern Conference ticket, which was one Jimmy Butler, three short of cashing. So they're a team. They're not sexy. No one's going to sit there and be like, oh, look at my Miami Heat ticket. But they win. They're going to be there. They're tough. And if they somehow add another piece, they're interesting. So bet now, bet later, or neither for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I'll bet them now. 16-1 is fair for the Heat. You know, I think they could get as high as 20 or 25, but they have such a well-rounded team. And you know, guys like Caleb Martin and Tyler Hero played terrible, and he was injured for most of that playoff series, and it still came down to the buzzer. So, I mean, we could be talking about the Miami Heat as champions right now. They won the East in terms of the regular season. PJ Tucker's the key guy I'm looking at over this offseason. He has a player option. If he returns, that's huge for them. If he leaves, well, we'll see exactly what they do. But I think 16-1 is a fair spot to buy the Heat now, and kind of, you know, if they drop a little bit, maybe pick up a little more Miami Heat if they get to 25 or 30-1, because they have a team that gained a lot of playoff experience this year. They went to the finals 2 years ago. So I'm down with the Miami Heat. I think they're going to be in, you know, those key number of the top three seeds in the East. I do.
Yeah. And I'm there with you. So what we hope to gain from this is give you some perspective on teams we're looking at. We're primarily going to be waiting for the overwhelming majority of things. But now that we've done this exercise, you know what the odds were when the playoffs started. You know what the odds are now. Now we're going to be opportunistic to look for when teams have dips, when injuries happen, when all of a sudden the value presents itself. So Zach, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect?
All right. Yeah. Find me on Twitter. That's where I'm going to put out all my NBA related content. Twitter is at Zachonomics. And if you want to follow some of my adventures, find me on Instagram at Zachonomics101.
And I want to hear from you. If you are going to make one NBA title futures bet right now, which team is it going to be? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag @covers. And remember, If you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The book of Delic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.